Saturday morning. Hope you're having a good weekend this weekend. It's about 9 o'clock in the morning here. Reading from the Authorized King James Version of the Bible. Sanctify them through thy truth. Thy word is truth. You know, there's been a lot of conversation about progressive sanctification and progressive salvation. And there was a guy that even wrote a book called Pilgrim's Progress. And it was read to me when I was a little boy. And I remember Christian was one of the main characters in that book. Pilgrim, you know. And how he went on his journey through his life, and he went from one town to the next town, and he ended up in the celestial city. Now, you know, there's a scripture that says, he that endureth unto the end, the same shall be saved. Now, there's some people that will listen to this devotion that will say, oh, Larry's now into progressive salvation. No, I believe that when a person is born again by the Spirit of God, it causes them to walk in ways that are pleasing to God. But it's actually the righteousness of Jesus Christ that purchases our redemption. You know, our walk, the best walk we ever might walk, is still, we're still in the flesh, in this body. We're still tainted by sin. Even though God looks at Jesus Christ's sacrifice, the Father looks at Jesus Christ's sacrifice and sees us as holy and righteous, there's nothing righteous in and of ourselves. There are many ethical questions in this life that we ponder and we grip with, you know. And there are many, many different aspects to decisions that we make in our lives that are, we try to use the Word of God to be our counsel and our guide, and the Holy Spirit guides us into all truth. You know, now we are clean through the word which I have spoken to you. Let the word of Christ dwell in you richly in all wisdom. John 15. Wherewith shall a young man cleanse his way? By taking heed thereto according to thy word. With my whole heart have I sought thee. Oh, let me not wander from thy commandments. Colossians 3:16 and Psalm 119:9. When wisdom entereth into thine heart and knowledge is pleasant unto thy soul, discretion shall preserve thee, and understanding shall keep thee. Proverbs 2:10 and 11. My foot hath held his steps, his ways have I kept and not declined, neither have I held back from the commandments of his lips. I have esteemed the words of his mouth more than my necessary food. I have more understanding than all my teachers, for thy testimonies are my meditation. If you continue in my word, then ye are my disciples indeed, and ye shall know the truth, and the truth shall make you free. Psalm 119:99 and John 18:31 and 32. Well, we cannot perfectly keep the commandments of God. Welcome aboard, Don Clay. As much as we would like to perfectly keep all of his commandments and be spotless, there's no way. I've never met anyone that perfectly kept all the commandments of God. And if you've ever met that person, I'd like for you to introduce them to me. Now, I'm not justifying breaking the Ten Commandments. Don't get me wrong. But Scripture says, let God be true and every man a liar, you know, and people that come across as if they've got everything down, they've got it, their doctrine's perfect, their eschatology's perfect, Their understanding of prophecy is perfect. They're living a life of perfection, like John Wesley taught. And they set about trying to set everyone else straight about their errors when there's, you know, when there's four fingers pointing, there's three fingers pointing back at them. Okay. Well, I've been guilty of this in the past, and I'll probably be guilty in the future, you know. But the point that I'm trying to make is that none of us are pure as the driven snow. Now, a lot of people say when I make a statement like that, they'll say, oh, Larry's an antinomian. He's lawless. Well, what does James say? James says, if you offend in one point, you're guilty of all. And I know I've been more in guilty of more than one point. Okay, I know I have. I'm being honest this morning. My hope is not built upon Larry's works. My hope is built on Jesus Christ and his righteousness. We are come unto Mount Zion and unto the city of the living God, the heavenly Jerusalem, and unto an innumerable company of angels, to the general assembly and church of the firstborn, which are written in heaven, and to God, the judge of all, and to the spirits of just men made perfect. These all died in the faith, not having received the promise, but having seen them afar off, and were persuaded of them, and embraced them, and confessed that they were strangers and pilgrims on the earth. Our conversation is in heaven, from whence also we look for the Savior, the Lord Jesus Christ, who shall change our vile body, that it may be fashioned like unto his glorious body, according to the working whereby he is able even to subdue all things in himself. The Father hath delivered us from the power of darkness, and hath translated us into the kingdom of his dear Son. As strangers and pilgrims abstain from fleshly lusts which war against the soul. I just read from Ephesians 2:19, Hebrews 12:22 and 23, Hebrews 11:13, Philippians 3:20 and 21, Colossians 1:12 and 13, and 1 Peter 2:11. So we are in a warfare. And if we're not in a warfare, then there's something wrong. If we're just floating through life and everything seems coming up roses, you haven't picked any roses recently, because when you go out and pick roses, you get pricked with a thorn. You know, Jesus Christ was a rose among the thorns. Jesus Christ himself, while he walked on this dusty trail in his sandals, was maligned. He was spat upon. He was stripped. He was scorned. He was mocked. He was ridiculed. He didn't fit very well in this society, in the culture that he was in. He called them vipers. He said, you scribes, you Pharisees, who hath warned you to flee from the wrath to come? He said, the reason that you don't believe on me is because you are not one of my sheep. My sheep hear my voice and they follow me, and no man can pluck them out of my hand, and no man can pluck them out of my Father's hand. There's a lot of people out there trying to pluck other Christians out of God's hand, and they don't have the power to do that. God is in charge of his elect, not you, not me. And so you can put as many thumbs down as you want to on this devotional. It doesn't faze me. In fact, the more thumbs down that there are, probably the closer to the truth I am proclaiming. I heard a message by one fellow one time, and I enjoyed listening to many of his messages. His name was McMahon. He still got his sermons on sermon audio, and he said the Christian's biggest battle is his own self-righteousness. Isn't that true? We come across, we think we're just a little bit better than everybody else, don't we? Welcome aboard, Anna Mana Manilow. Good to see you. We're back with us. I'm preaching. There's a tendency for us to take on an air of self-righteousness. And what I've learned is the people that are the most self-righteous will never admit it. They will never admit that they have problems with thinking they're a little bit better. They have this little uppie mentality with their nose up in the air. Okay. Jesus Christ died for sinners. He said he did not come to call the righteous, but the sinners to repentance. And a lot of people say, well, you need to repent. You need to make a public apology. You need to do this. You need to do that. It reminds me of Roman Catholicism. You need to do penance. You haven't done enough penance yet. You haven't showed that you're truly repentant. Oh, really? Pope Francis. Okay. That's Catholicism. God's the only one that sees the heart. You can't see my heart, and I can't see your heart. Okay. And so that's very Jesuitical to come across like you have all the answers to everything. I knew a fellow one time, very well known in the Christian community. Wrote a lot of books, very popular author. And came across like there was nothing he did not know. In fact, I even asked him one time, is there anything you don't know? Is there anything you don't know? You know, we're not God. We are not omnipotent. We don't have all knowledge. And I will be the first to admit there's a lot more that I don't know than I do know. You know, but there's one thing that I do know. I do know that Jesus Christ died for sinners, and I'm a sinner. That gives me great hope. Okay? It gives me great hope. He says, come unto me, all ye that are weary and heavy laden, and I will give you rest. Cast your cares upon me. So, you know, when people come across as if they are, you know, pure as the driven snow, they don't have any faults. They have all the answers on every doctrine. They're the most educated. They have the greatest, highest degree of education, and they've got their act together, then the scripture comes to my mind, I did not come to call the righteous, but the sinners to repentance. You know, we are in a warfare between the flesh and the devil, but Jesus Christ has already paid the price for all of our sins. You know, Satan is the great accuser of the brethren, and he would like to cause us to question what Christ has done for us. I want to read this poem before I conclude today. There are many things that I don't understand, but this one thing I do know. I know Christ, who has the world in the palm of his hand. I may not know much about physics or chemistry. I may not know much about electronics or electricity, but I know the one who stills the wind and calms the sea. I may not know Hebrew or Greek or quadratic equations, but I know the one who gave me eternal salvation. I may not know important people or celebrities, but I know the one created them all as well as you and me. I may not know economics or how to get wealth, but I do know the one who grants spiritual health. I may not know false science and heliocentricity, but I do know the one who shed his blood on Calvary for me. I may not know Latin, French, or Portuguese, but I do know the one who made the stars and the trees. I may not know medicine, herbs, and plants, but I do know the one to me who forgiveness grants. So if you think you are wise in all worldly things, only Christ can bring knowledge the world cannot bring. Well, I want to read one last one to let people know my testimony this morning. My testimony is not anything that I know or anything that I've done. My testimony is what Christ has done. And I have entitled this, I'm a Sinner Saved by Grace. Let it be understood exactly what I am. I'm a sinner saved by grace, just like the Apostle Paul said. I'm a despicable, vile creature who was raised up from the dead. I deserved the wrath of God, but it was placed on Christ instead. When I think of how vile and wretched this poor sinner really is, it gives me pause to wonder how awesome Christ forgives. To suffer, bleed, and die on a cruel, rugged tree, and cry out while he was dying to forgive a sinner like me. What a marvelous act of mercy and kindness he did to me show when I deserved to be cast into hell there to forever go. All my praise and worship should sing forth for eternity, Christ bleeding and dying to save a wretched sinner like me. Is that your testimony this morning? I hope so. May the good Lord be with you this weekend. God bless.